Welcome to the WBFO Press Pass. I'm Mark Scott, joined by Buffalo Spree editor Elizabeth Licata.
Hi, Mark.
How are you today?
I'm very good.
The September issue is really jam-packed with timely topics. The start of a new school year, the beginning of the local theater and classical music seasons, and the sad demolition of a building that was near and dear to us in radio, 23 North Street, the one-time home of WEBR Radio. But the cover story is about Buffalo's newest jewel, our developing waterfront. Elizabeth, after so many false starts, after so much blundering, did you ever think we'd get to the point where we are now?
No, it's amazing. Although, to be honest, I don't remember ever going down there. There'd be no reason. If you went to the Odd, you'd be close enough to it. I don't remember ever going and seeing the Inner Harbor or even realizing what it was. I would drive past the waterfront on the Skyway, and that was really my entire experience of the waterfront, was like driving along Route 5. And then maybe, you know, you might get off and there's some beaches up there, and that would pretty much be the end of it. And also the marina.
Yeah. Yeah, Erie Basin Marina.
Yeah, the Erie Basin Marina, I think, was my experience. But now there's all these other things to choose from, and the activity down there is astounding. When I went down for the Shark Girl Conference, they had a drumming circle that was going on right nearby. There's always people down there doing all kinds of interesting things.
Former Buffalo news writer Mike Vogel penned the introductory piece in your special report on the waterfront, and he argued generic entertainment and a place to buy a beer are not enough. He says Canal Side must tell the real story. What does he mean by that?
Well, I think that it must be mindful in some ways, which I think they're trying to do, of why Buffalo exists because of this place, even though we've been ignoring it for decades. The fact is, we wouldn't be here without it, right? Because that's where all the commerce came in. That's where the ships came in and unloaded the grain, and we were the gateway to the Middle West. And that really needs to be known.
Do you think it's not? Do you think people don't have a sense of that?
I think a lot of people probably don't have a sense of that, about what the Erie Canal meant. I mean, for example, I grew up in Lockport, and so I knew about the Erie Canal, but I didn't know anything about the terminus being in Buffalo because it had been pretty much buried and was not really talked about. So I think that's kind of what he meant. And of course, now he's sort of a late-blooming historian, isn't he, because he is involved with the historic lighthouse.
And it's great that that piece of history is still with us on Buffalo's waterfront.
And I shouldn't sell him short, because he does have also that wonderful book about the early days of the Erie Canal and what was down there, which is very different than what we have down there now, thankfully.
I agree with everything Mike has to say, but I wouldn't sell short the idea of beer and music. I remember visiting Chicago in 2005 and was totally enamored by the Navy Pier. It was a place where I could sit outside at a bar, hear some blues music, engage in conversation with fellow public radio news directors during our meeting in Chicago, and I really didn't care about the history of the Navy Pier. I just wanted to have a good time, and I did, and I wanted to see that here in Buffalo, and it's happening with Liberty Hound and hopefully more of the restaurants that will be opening.
Well, I think beer is a big part of the history, so I think you can have it both ways there, but I agree with you. There has to be beer and music, and there is beer and music, and there will be even more, I feel certain of it. And I think the Navy Pier is a really good example.
There are any number of people who are champions of the new waterfront. Preservationist Tim Thielman, Jill Jedlicka of Riverkeeper, Tom D. of the Erie Canal Harbor Development Corporation. But would you say that the most valuable player is Congressman Brian Higgins?
Absolutely. I would agree. I think that the other people you've mentioned are important for various reasons, but in terms of the big picture, nothing happens really without his leadership. At least nothing has. He has led everything. And what they do is all part of the big picture that he is, in many ways, helping to direct.
Was he a visionary, do you think? He saw the power of our waterfront when others didn't?
It could be. I mean, he's from that area. I mean, that's where his political roots are, right? And so I suppose then that it's something that you're always seeing. You're always driving past it and realizing its potential. And I think that he's grown up seeing, as I have, a lot of different plans for the waterfront. This isn't the first time we've talked about the waterfront. And maybe he, like many others, was sick of all the talk and wants to get something done. And I think he's been successful.
So glad Bass Pro isn't here.
I've never seen one, so I don't know whether to be glad or not.
I mean, not that I'm opposed to a sporting goods store, but just not there.
Well, I think it's nice. I think what we have, Harbor Center, is sort of a big box recreation center that I think will be much more interesting and entertaining than just a store could be.
What are some of the challenges still facing the waterfront?
Well, I think this is where Jill Jedlicka's part comes in. Is, I mean, the fact is, it's all very well to have beaches and access to Lake Erie, but that water has to be clean. And the Buffalo River, you know, is in the process of being cleaned up. But this is all in the process. We still have a long way to go. I think that's one of the biggest challenges. I think that the development is coming. The parks are coming. We've already got some new small parks. I think people are willing to go there for recreation, for entertainment, for exercise, for a lot of different reasons, but it needs to be something that's safe and clean.
You bring up a good point, swimming. You go to Erie. In Erie, you have Presque Isle. You can swim, but here in the immediate Buffalo region, the closest swimming point is Woodlawn Beach. Nothing really in the city, so it would be nice if we can reach that point of cleaning it up so people can enjoy a swim in one of these beaches that are being developed.
Yeah, I mean, they used to back in the day, but I honestly don't know if it was ever really safe all the time to swim close to where the city is. And there's a lot of work that, and that'll help many other things.
What about winter? There's going to be ice skating on the replica canals at the Old Odd site. The Harbor Center will be attracting thousands to the new ice rinks. You have crowds showing up for 40 Sabres games at the area. But when that cold wind is blowing, does really anybody want to be at Canalside in the middle of winter?
Well, you know, Mark, I'm not going to dismantle my garden just because I can't sit out in the middle of January. You know, it's cold out. That's a fact of life here. So, of course, it makes sense. You're not going to see as much activity. But I think that as long as there needs to be a lot of places to go inside after you're done with whatever you're doing outside, after you're done skating or whatever, there needs to be restaurants and places to shop. And basically, if you want to have people there in winter, well, then you have to have residential units there in winter. You have to have people living down there, which we'll have. And I think the same could be said for the outer harbor, because there's people snowshoe and cross-country ski already at Tift. And I don't know if you've ever driven and seen all the ice fishermen. There's so many of them every single day. So obviously, people are going to go down there. No matter whether it's, we might not, but other people are.
yeah.
And just give those people, here's a place to eat when you're done ice fishing or when you're done snowshoeing. Oh, and maybe you'd like to live down here. Well, here's a whole bunch of residential units. I mean, in some of the plans I've seen have residential units right on the outer harbor. So, so they'll have to be there. They live there.
Let's move on to some of the other topics you cover in the September issue. Curtain Up is around the corner, and with it, the start of the theater season. Is Buffalo the envy among cities of our size just because of our vibrant theater community?
If you're a theater person and you have fewer theaters in your city, then yes. I think it is a vibrant theater community. Our theater writer, Donna Hoke, is extremely aware of everything that's going on, so I'm really happy that she takes this great sort of curated approach at kind of telling us, this is what I'm really looking forward to. I think it's important, and here's why. And so she explains all that. So we have, I think, 6 pages or so of, we always do a big theater preview section in September.
And you wrote an article about the coming classical music season, and what are some of the things that are coming up in that regard?
Well, a lot of interesting things. The Gala BPO concert will, of course, have Renee Fleming, and that's going to be great. But then they have some other interesting things. There's a, I think in October, there's a performance where that will involve the work of Dale Chihuly, the artist, and I'm sort of I think I would like to go see that. And then also the Buffalo Chamber Music Society is just amazing. Every single year they bring in amazing quartets, all groups that are just internationally famous, and they're truly a jewel in terms of our classical music offerings.
One more item. You wrote an article about the demolition of the old home of WEBR Radio. Obviously, those of us in radio were saddened by this because of the history in that structure. But what was it about this building that inspired you to write about it?
At Buffalo Spree, we are advocates for historic preservation. It's something that the magazine has always covered way before the days that I ever came to Spree, back in the days when Austin Fox used to write for Spree in the 80s. And later John Conlon wrote, so it's something of a tradition. So I was interested because I thought it was a shame. I knew about the building, I knew it was empty, and I knew that something was supposed to happen to it, that First Amherst was going to redevelop it, and we're all kind of happy about that. And to see any building of that size, of that historic potential, of that kind of architecture go down in Allentown is always bad news.
And of course, in this case, though, it really was an act of God. I mean, the hole in that building from that lightning strike was wow. Yeah. I mean, at that point, would there have been a way of saving it with that big hole that caused by the lightning?
I really don't know. Yeah. I mean, according to the developer, though, that's what happened, and they couldn't do anything about it. But I was really, the kind of bright side of it all was finding out all the history, a lot of which I didn't know, and it was fascinating.
Yeah.
It was really fascinating. And in the, I found out as I was reading all this that actually where I now work at 1738 Elmwood was one of Buffalo's earliest radio stations.
WGR.
Which I didn't know. Yeah. So there's this great connection with radio that I have, having a former radio guy as the owner-publisher of Spree, and then also being in a former
radio place. And that would be Larry Levitt.
Yes, and that would be Larry Levitt. And I really enjoyed reading the history, and that kind of softened the whole, otherwise it would just be the sort of preservation tragedy. But, and I might not have even written about it. But the fact that it did have all this history, that history deserved to be told in case anyone didn't know it.
Yeah. Well, great job on that. Really
Thanks.
Enjoyed reading it. Elizabeth Licata is editor of Buffalo Spree. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Mark.
Mark Scott, WBFO News.